mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It is Sunday, the 22nd day of October, 2017. We're going to be live here, as we are each Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Then, Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, 3 p.m. with the Alex Jones Show, with yours truly. Don't forget, David Knight kicks it all off here with our live broadcast on radio and TV. Simulcast at 8 a.m. in the morning. And then my broadcast is followed at 3 p.m. by the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Man, Vegas is definitely a cover-up of multiple shooters, just like my sources in the FBI said when the bodies weren't even cold, sadly, 3 weeks ago. That's all coming out. Vegas bombshell video shows 17 ambulances pulling bodies out of Hooters. I mean, there were shootings all over. The real numbers are being covered up. DARPA's come out and admitted at the World Economic Forum they can mind control you with waves from a distance. That's coming up. And so much more. Trump's got the globalists on the run. But first, a key report. Ladies and gentlemen, dealing with convicted pedophiles still working in Hollywood.
At this very moment, a convicted child molester is in close proximity to child actors, directing them in a fantasy of his own making.
This idea about a boy who could touch people and see how they die and how it would affect his life and how it was a mystery to him most of his life. And I thought, well, why don't we let him find out why and let it be the most awful thing he should have never found out to begin with. So we kind of just ran with it like that.
A product of Miramax and Disney, praised and supported by film industry icons like Francis Ford Coppola, Victor Salva was convicted of molesting the star of his debut movie, Clown House, back in 1988. The actor, speaking of his abuse, Nathan Forrest Winters, said of Salva, "He spent the better part of a year grooming me and my parents, developing the trust. It was very calculated and a long process, as it is with most pedophiles." Regardless that Salva spent 3 years in prison for the molestation, his career resumed after he was released. In a recent film of Salva's titled Jeepers Creepers 3, Salva even wrote a scene in normalizing the sexual abuse between a stepfather and his stepdaughter. Salva's latest film, Old Hag Syndrome, is described as a psychological thriller centered around the nightmares of children. Kit Daniels writes, "Not long after the Walt Disney Company bought Bob and Harvey Weinstein's company Miramax in 1993, convicted child molester Victor Salva was pegged to direct Disney's film Powder. This is important to note because Disney now faces potential lawsuits for doing nothing about Harvey Weinstein's alleged predatory behavior. If Disney knew or had reason to know, and Weinstein stayed on with Disney to helm Miramax until 2005. The LA Times reported on October 31st, 1995, as controversy swirled around filmmaker Victor Salva, Salva's agents said that a good showing at the box office may salvage the 37-year-old director's career. At least three studios are meeting with him. One has already given Victor scripts to read. Three studios had no problem hiring a convicted child molester as long as he produced a good showing at the box office. Is it any surprise then how Weinstein was able to get away with his reported behavior for decades? Meanwhile, Harvey Weinstein, according to Page Six, is arriving to his group therapy sessions 15 minutes late, and when it was his turn to speak, launched into a speech about how this is all a conspiracy against him. In related Hollywood implosion news, Jeff Bezos had known for 2 years about ousted Amazon Studios chief Roy Price's behavior. On top of Price's sexual power trips, he was also trying to get his own sketchy show off the ground about a young woman who is sold into sex slavery to a psychotic imperial Thai dwarf named Mr. Goodtimes, where she is drugged, bashed with a machete, and told she will be assaulted like a dead fish. Is it just me, or does it seem like Hollywood should be injected with a huge dose of penicillin?
Seven black athletes and one white guy, James Toback, with 15 to 20 girls a day in and out of the house, pre-AIDS era, I should add. Everybody going crazy. No one ever forced to do anything.
We'll be back, folks. Stay with us.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war
on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
The 22nd day of October 2017, year of our Lord. Thank you so much for joining us on this live Sunday edition. I'm here each Sunday live, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, with our intrepid crew because there's so much news that develops Saturday into Sunday as we kick off the new week. And then, of course, there's the weekday transmission, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. all times Texas, all times Central. That's 12 noon Eastern when we kick off the transmission. Newswars.com is our newest site. And, of course, Infowars.com is the flagship. But there's a lot of original news and videos and articles and research that appear at Newswars.com and PrisonPlanet.com that do not appear at Infowars.com. And the globalists are working around the clock, admittedly, to make sure that people don't see those links and see those videos. We have the head of YouTube's programming, the head of their liaison with the mainstream media, admitting their main mission was blocking Infowars. I mean, I don't need that undercover video from Veritas to already know that. If we have a video with a million views in one day, and I go to the trending section, and they've got videos with 20,000 views in one day or 100,000 in one day that are at the top of the list, you know the list is fake. You know they're acting like there's a you in YouTube. The reason I raise that is the gaming is all around us, but despite that, they're losing. Look at this. Jimmy Carter has come out and said that Trump's doing a good job on the economy and many other areas and said that Hillary and the Clintons and Obama have done a terrible job and that they have basically lied about the Russia connection to Trump and are trying to throw America under the bus. Now, Jimmy Carter, ladies and gentlemen, did that after he went to that fundraiser at College Station Friday night with four other presidents. And reportedly, there was a lot of bad-mouthing of the president, the current president, on and off the stage. And we've got some of that coming up. And so Carter has made his decision to go with Making America Great Again there in his twilight years. And I've seen him give speeches. He's still all there. He's got his problems and definitely sold us out to the communist Chinese and other things. But the fact is that I think he knows when to jump ship, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got that big news. Jimmy Carter lets loose, knocks Obama and Hillary, says Russia didn't alter election, praises Trump. That's coming up. Victor Salva is in the news because he was hired by Harry Weinstein, even though he was convicted of raping a 12-year-old boy brutally on the set and other reported crimes he was alleged to have committed. Now that's back in the news. But guess what? Corey Feldman, the big child actor, he was set this week to go public. In fact, he went on The View and said that he was about to go public about young boys being raped by men in Hollywood, big directors and producers and lawyers. He got SWAT team raided yesterday in a supposed drug raid. Isn't that convenient timing as the deep state clearly strikes back? Oh, and there's another report. Alleged pedo, Peter Yarrow, to perform at Women for Peace rally outside the Pentagon. Washington Free Beacon is reporting as Pedogate continues to break big time. And that is the next shoe to drop on the sexual assault reports pouring out of California. Now, speaking of Trump and the global awakening, when you have the entire mainstream media and all these foreign governments and all these communist states and all these authoritarian media combines and Silicon Valley, the big tech companies, when you've got the big internet companies, all of them lined up against the American people, all of them lined up trying to force their globalist agenda to transfer our national sovereignty out of the country and to unelected multinational secret boards, and the agreements are even secret. But then WikiLeaks leaks them, and it's more authoritarian than you could ever imagine. Congress couldn't even see it. Trump comes in and kills TPP day one. that was designed to impoverish the U.S. and transfer our wealth offshore. It was even in the documents. It's not that he's an angel. He's just not an SOB who wants to mount America's head on the wall. And that's his crime. And I saw a bunch of articles over the weekend attacking General Kelly. And I'm going to cover these towards the end of the broadcast today. I'm going to do several segments on it. When he came out, and I've been critical some of Kelly, kind of cloistering or putting the president in a high tower and restricting what info gets to him. But I understand they call that command and control. But he came out with this whole Frederica Wilson congresswoman debacle and said, I've listened in on these phone calls with the president, and they're very, very powerful. They're very, very loving. They're very, very courage-filled. They're very, very helpful. And basically, I coach the president on what to say. The congresswoman came out and called him a racist for saying she was stupid. No, she is stupid and opportunistic. She's on CNN calling herself a rock star now that she did this. Grabbing on to these hearse, grabbing on to these coffins, grabbing on to these funerals, grabbing onto the telephones, listening to private conversations, inserting herself, you know, running to people's houses as soon as she hears that their husband's died, because she knows that call from the president's coming, so she can get in the middle of it. That isn't just stupid. That's pig-like. And I love how she wears that big blue cowboy hat. And Huckabee Sanders, White House press secretary, White House press spokeswoman, said, all hat, no cattle. And I saw the GIF going around on, I retweeted it at Real Alex Jones. It was also on James Woods' Twitter. And it was all hat, no cattle. It was cowboys and Indians. And it's her with Congresswoman Senator Warren as Pocahontas with a little feather in her. Little feather in her little headdress like Pocahontas. I mean, this is next level. But again, why are they so scared? What are they pushing? What are they doing? They know we have a 3.1% growth rate, something Obama never had. They know they're creating a controlled economy. They know they're at odds with an American free market system. They know they want to sew up the market. And they know Trump is bringing that system back, so they are panicking. Trump's very close to getting big tax cuts. They're saying that we'll create 7% growth rate. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't had that since the 60s. China has enjoyed 8 to 15% growth rates for 50 years since the globalists sold us out to them. So if they can have 10% growth rates on average, we can have a 7% growth rate, and that will pay off the debt. Only booms pay off debts when you freeze spending. Can still stay where it is at skyrocket levels. But every mainline economist even admits the only way to break these things back is to massively cut taxes to the poor people, middle class, cut the corporate tax. We have the highest in the world, written to make it prohibitive to have jobs here. This is a plan. They brag about it in WikiLeaks. It's all public. It's globalism. Picking and choosing winners. And to just rev up that economy, have massive tax receipts come in, because when you cut taxes, more money comes in because the economy speeds up every time, and then start paying down that debt. And Trump intends to try to keep spending where it is and then bring in those tax cuts. We get that. We keep the Federal Reserve from raising interest rates too much. We will fix the global economy, not just ours, because it's easy to fix. We have exuberance. We have technology. We have machines. We have the super industrial high-tech revolution. We have incredible innovation. The globalists admit they're trying to, quote, keep things from overheating in the economy because they want a controlled economy that they manage. And I know I beat this horse a lot because it's not a dead horse. And it's the horse we're going to ride out of the New World Order on. So that's why they're so against the Trump agenda. And that's why Maxine Waters says, quote, we will take him out. That's a new video coming up next segment. That's why the BBC jokes about him getting killed. It's why a lot of media said, oh, yeah, what are you going to release the JFK files before we kill you? Joe Rogan made that point. He said, yeah, it's a smart thing to do because they're trying to kill him. I'm going to play that clip from Joe Rogan as well coming up. But, of course, we told you on Friday that he was set to release him. He was looking to release him. He told InfoWars reporter Roger Stone. The media said we were wrong on Friday that he wouldn't do it. But he tweeted on Saturday morning that barring new information, he'll release him next Friday. Get next week, next year's, or next decade's news here first at InfoWars.
When I grow up, I want to be a
take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Every day that we're on, and every day that we have writers reporting for NewsWars.com and InfoWars.com, we are breaking original, hard-hitting news on Hollywood pedophilia being the next shoe to drop with Harvey Weinstein. We told you that a month ago, specifically with Jerry Epstein and the Lolita Express and Bill Clinton and his flights on those. That is in major New York and L.A. papers this week. Just Friday, we said that we talked to the president. Roger did. Another one of my sources did, very close to me. Not going to get into that source who talked to the president Friday. And the president was strongly looking at it and said, barring any new information from Pompeo, the CIA director, that he's going to release it. And that's what Roger said on Friday. It's what I said my source said. And you notice on Saturday morning, the president tweeted that barring any new information, that he was going to release the information next Friday. Because the president can block the release of it. And Obama and George Bush did block the last two times they were going to release it. And boy, do they have to eat crow now. If you read the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, it says that, okay, Roger Stone and Alex Jones broke the information on Friday. Now, that same day, they all reported that we had made it up. They said, fake news, Alex Jones had Roger Stone on, and they claim they talked to the president, and they, well, we've talked to our sources, and it's not going to be released. Yeah, because Pompeo, who does a pretty good job overall, I actually like a lot of what he's doing, focusing, spying on, you know, foreign enemies, not the American people, and not trying to use the CIA as a globalist tool to deindustrialize the nation, but Pompeo has been fighting with the president not to release it and thought he had the ear of the president. But as of now, it's going to be released. And who knows what's going to be in there. Some little birds have looked over it and know what the body of it is. And a lot of it is the information given to the Warren Commission back in the 60s and the Congressional Commission in the 70s. Now, the Congressional Commission you never hear about. But it's the one that found that more than one gunman did kill the president. And that he was killed in a conspiracy, probably organized by the CIA. Boy, don't you wish Jim Mars, the professor, who just died a few months ago, was still here, first guy to ever teach a college course on JFK assassination. He was a Fort Worth Star Telegram reporter when that happened. He was older than he looked. He was a nice little garden gnome, good friend of mine. I was literally about to call him up that week to get him back on the show. I'm like, where's Jim been? He usually calls and wants on the show. I was telling my producers, let's get him on the next month. Boom. I went home that day. George Norrie called me and said, don't say this yet. I just got calls from his family. He just died minutes ago. Anyways, good old Jim. I know he's looking down from heaven. He knew there was a spiritual thing to this whole deal. He knew Jack Ruby. He used to go to the same bar. Now, back then, it was more classy. It was burlesque, but there was only one in Dallas. And he was 21, already a reporter on the crime beat. And a new old Jack Ruby, what a storyteller. He could certainly break down some things. But I am digressing, getting into old yarns here. It's Twilight Zone to imagine, though, that I, in 2017, would have a direct conduit to the president and that we would be breaking that the JFK files are about to come out. So we have a pretty good idea what's in those files. And we're going to tell you coming up at the start of the next hour. Now, even if I had sources, I wouldn't tell you I got it from classified sources. I just say I have a pretty good idea what is going to be in those files next Friday. So I'm going to stop right there. Now, a bunch of publications, including BBC, there's an article up on InfoWars.com about this, made jokes about the president. BBC journalist defends tweet about Trump motorcade after JFK doc announcements. After announcing the release of documents for the JFK assassination, President Trump goes on an uneventful motor ride. So they're just making their jokes about him being suicided or assassinated, Arkansas-ed. Let's play a clip of off the rails. I don't know who's more senile and batty. Is it somebody like the Democrat leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi? Or is it Is it Maxine Waters? Because, you know, this other Congresswoman, Frederica Williams, she says, don't call me stupid. That's racist. Well, lady, you are stupid, and you're a jerk, and you're a creep, and you lied about what was in the phone call, or you lied about listening in. Now it turns out you were there. And, you, again, you're all hat, no cattle. I don't care if you're black or white. You're a bunch of crazy old women. We're tired of you. Now she demands an apology from Kelly for character assassination. She keeps wearing that stupid cowboy hat. I think it's dumb with men that own cattle ranches of 20,000 head wear cowboy hats on TV. Cowboy hats for out in the sun, woman. Don't ever see me wearing a cowboy hat? And I got cows. And I got a ranch. I got a ranch that we got from the Mexicans. We paid for it. You got one of those? Stop wearing a cowboy hat. Stop it. Excuse me. Let's go ahead and go to a clip of Off the Rails Maxine Waters saying she's, oh, and by the way, YouTube's been taking this video down everywhere, not claiming even copyright. They just don't want you to see her unhinged. Here it is.
Wow. What a moving evening this is. I am sitting here listening, watching, absorbing, thinking about Ali, even though I never met him. And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
I will go and take him out tonight. That's definitely the tenor, you know, hashtag hunt Republicans. Now, then they claim we're the ones that are calling for violence. Let's go ahead now, clear shades of violence there. Let's play Joe Rogan making his point that he thinks Trump's smart to do this. And I agree. Here it is.
Do you hear that Donald Trump's going to open up the JFK dump? How about that? All the dump of documents from the JFK that had been sealed up by all the other presidents, like the JFK assassination investigation, they sealed some documents up because they're too sensitive.
I know.
Like, whatever those documents are in.
Why wouldn't they shred those documents? How could why would damning documents be exist?
Because these are people from 1962.
Also, Trump for sure focused on something else than this. Huh?
Well, hey, this is not a bad thing to focus on.
Many other things we could focus on out here.
For sure. But first of all, no one really can be president. Let's be honest. There's not a single person that can focus on the economy and healthcare and international relations.
But he can do good
and
things.
The environment. And, like, there's no way.
He can kill TPP. He can cut the taxes.
Sure. But there's not enough time in the world to focus on any of those things.
Agree. So, you know what he should focus on? Donald Trump should focus on the Vegas shooting. He hasn't said shit about it.
That's how we're ending it.
You know what I mean?
Well, Eddie Bravo's got a good point.
You think there was some shady shit going on?
But here's the thing about this Kennedy assassination. One of the reasons why, if I was him, I would focus on the Kennedy assassination is they might fucking kill him. Like, it's entirely possible that he's thinking that he could get assassinated.
100%.
100%.
You know how many people 100%. Want to
maybe
kill him?
Maybe that's why he's opening it. Maybe.
I wouldn't
think there was any files. Like, why would those files exist? They should have been burned a long time
ago. By the way, I'm going to answer that question when we come back for Eddie Bravo. And I'm going to get into the latest bombshell Vegas info. They got 10, 15 ambulances or more picking up people at another building that have been shot. We got video.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hello, me. Meet the real me and my misfits way of life.
Now, coming up, for the first half of the next hour, Roger Stone is going to be joining us. He's out taping a bunch of big morning interviews for the major TV networks because they can't ignore the fact that he broke the information here Friday that the president said he was looking to release the files unless he got any countervailing information. And I remember saying to Roger on the phone Thursday night and Friday morning, I said, Roger, if Trump says he's going to release it, barring new information, let's just say that. He said, no, because I don't want to influence it. He goes, I think he's going to do the right thing. And you heard him say that on air. He said, no, they're saying he isn't going to release it in the news. That's not true. He's leaning towards it, and I think he will. And then Saturday morning, the president came out and said just that. And what's in these files? I don't just have a good idea. a lot of what was in the Warren Commission and in the Congressional Commission that came after that, the commissions found two different things. The Warren Commission, as funny as a $3 bill, with a bunch of people that were involved actually in the operation, clear conflict of interest. The Warren Commission, it found single gunmen. The Congressional Commission, you never hear about in the media, much bigger, much more lengthy, and part of it classified, said, oh yeah, multiple shooters, deep state operation. You can pull up the Congressional JFK Assassination Commission and read its findings for yourself. So I know what's in those files. A lot of it ended up leaking. I've had some of the congressmen and folks before they died on. I mean, I had Admiral Moore on, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, 2 weeks before he died. I didn't realize it was like a deathbed confession that he was having congestive heart failure. And I called Newsmax up like a month later and said, can I get Admiral Moore back on? And they said, the admiral just died. But that was on other issues about the New World Order and the globalists and the plan to sell out the country and hand over the Panama Canal and all our secrets to communist China. And again, people keep thinking the government's the problem. I want constitutional limited government. I'm not an anarchist. I want a republic back. And the government's not our enemy. It's the bad people that have hijacked the government that are our enemy. And the media always misrepresents what I'm saying to say Jones believes in no government, or Jones hates everybody in government, or Jones is anti-government, or Jones is gloom and doom and believes the world's going to end. And he believes in space aliens. It's always the same stuff. I believe we can save the world. God helps those that help themselves. Trust in God, pray to God, but row away from the rocks. Hunter S. Thompson quote that's basically a paraphrase of a Bedouin saying, trust in God, but tie up your camel. You know, trust in God, but God helps those that help themselves. God gave us common sense, ladies and gentlemen. God made us. That's God helping you right there. Now, you do the right thing and have courage, God will almost always take you the rest of the way, unless it's part of God's plan, you be an example. As long as, in my experience, you just give in to whatever God's plan is and not worry about it, God's going to get you then. People that are like at odds with God and believe in God, but think God's like their slave and think God's there to be bossed around, that's not the way to get through to God. I'm just telling you right now. And God isn't looking for hypocrites either. And people that pray up on top of the hilltop, tell everybody how great they are. God's looking for action. I'm going to stop right there. But Trump is doing so much good that I just felt like I should come on air and thank God for you, the listeners. And thank God for Trump and thank God for everything and this great crew we've got in all the Providence. We wouldn't be here without you. And I mean that so heartfelt. This isn't me stroking you. I feel like I'm not doing my job unless I tell you how special you are and how amazing you are, no matter what color your skin is or where you came from. If you want liberty, you understand justice, you see these things, you feel these things, you know these things, because you've got discernment. You've got a connection to God. You're a person that has a connection to justice. You're not of the evil force. And that evil force wants to destroy you and me. And you will know a man or a woman by their enemies and by their fruits. And you look at the whole world, as Christ said, if you're for me, the world will be against you. The whole world, Hollywood, the globalist, all the structures are against Trump because he's not out to get you and he wants justice and prosperity. And they don't even know what to do. And they're getting more and more panicked and more angry as the economy comes back and as Trump begins to have success and as they begin to get on the run from Spain to Brazil, to Australia, to the UK, to Iceland, to all over the world, the United States, to what just happened 2 weeks ago in Austria, electing a Donald Trump-type populist, and a Czech election just elected Babiš in a huge, large margin. And the guy literally sounds like InfoWars. And I know folks have been over in the Czech Republic and met with him. I remember hearing like 6 months ago, you know who Babiš is? You know who Babiš is? You ought to go to the Republic. He likes you. I'm not bragging, oh, Babiš knows who I am and likes me. The point is, it's like a Ron Paul. Boom. He just won huge in the Czech Republic. It's happening everywhere. And now people in Africa are saying, we want free market. We don't want communism. And there's all these videos in different African languages translated to English where people on TV, local television stations going, no, no, we don't want the big banks and their communism. They now get it. Big rich people want communism to control you because they're offshore and exempt. And once people get that, no to Obama. We want cars. We want air conditioning. Plus, you let folks have cars and air conditioning. You clean up the technology, which has happened. People have two kids on average. They don't have 14 children. And we all sail off in the sunset together instead of destroying the planet. It's so amazing to be alive right now, ladies and gentlemen. And I look at the tax cut plan Trump's got and the left attacking it saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have a 40% corporate tax rate, but he wants to give rich corporations all that money. The rich corporations 30 years ago on record lobbied to have the highest corporate tax in the world to make everyone go offshore because the big Fortune 100 controlled China and India and could control who could get into those markets. So they wanted to make it cost prohibitive to operate here to knock out their competition. China has a 15% corporate tax. We've got a 40. Do you think we can compete? The communists have a 15% tax and we got a 40. Because they're not communists. They're fascists controlling slaves. No such thing as communism. It was created by the robber barons to screw everybody. And they brag about that. So we get that. And we get four tax brackets or three tax brackets instead of 10. And they lower the highest tax rate for people that actually pay tax from 45. It's really at 45. They say it's at 40, but it's really at 45 because they got rid of the exemptions. They lower it from 45 to 30. The economy's going to explode. And if you want to work, you're going to be able to get a job and save and get ahead. That's what works. And if people want it, it's waiting. I'm going to go to break here and come back with the big Vegas news and Jimmy Carter coming out in support of Trump. The worm's turning, folks. Trump's got him on the run. You got him on the run. There's not just evil in the universe. And it doesn't mean we're offering some utopia, but we're fighting for our lives here against really evil people. That's why this is happening. The globalists got so evil, and we're going to go for broke and kill the golden goose. That's why this is happening. Just briefly, we've got our great supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. That's one way we fund our operation, t-shirts, books, videos. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your financial support, but they're great products you need. And we've got a bunch of specials. We're going to end Happy and Anthroplex to Mars. It's about to sell out. Supermel Vitality is 30% off. Caveman, that special, 50% off. Was supposed to end last week. They haven't taken it down yet because I haven't done new specials. But what is going to end the next few days is Brain Force Plus, our great nootropic, 50% off, InfoWarsLife.com. You owe it to yourself and your family to get these great products. Plus, they're funding the resistance and the rebellion and the victory against the globalists. There is nowhere you can spend your money more important than InfoWarsStore.com in the fight.
I am a shotgun rider for the San Jacinto line. The desert is my brother. My skin is cracked and dry. I was riding on a full coach, and everything was fine till we took a shorter road to save some time. The bandits only fired once. They shot me in the chest. They may have wounded me, but they'll never get the best of better men.
It's the info war, my friends.
'Cause I'll ride again.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump right into it as we prepare to close out this hour and give you the inside intel on the JFK documents that are about to come out. And this info isn't directly from the president's mouth like Friday's news was. This is from our own deep research. Roger Stone's a best-selling author and researcher, New York Times best-selling author on JFK. And I, of course, have interviewed all the main experts and been deeply involved in researching it. And a little bit more than that. Little secret sauce in there. I'll leave it at that. But I did get the deathbed confession of E. Howard Hunt with his son, who now admittedly did run the operation. And I, of course, have a lot of family in Dallas and Austin back when weren't as big of towns as they are now. And I knew what happened to JFK from the time I could understand English. And boy, did what I was told when I was a child turn out to be spot on true. And I'll leave it at that. Now, let's go ahead and plow directly into the news and information on a more modern cover-up than just JFK, that now 91% of Americans last year at the last anniversary, the 52nd anniversary or 53rd anniversary, was it 53 or 54 years since 1963? We have the cover-up of Vegas going back on October 1st, now 22 days ago. It was a Sunday broadcast. I said Antifa and BLM and any means necessary say they're getting ready to get violent. They're getting ready to attack starting October 1st, not November 4th. November 4th, the Democrats and others officially say they're going to get violent in the streets of America in all 50 capitals and other major cities. We're going to have our limited crew in places like New York, Los Angeles, and right here in Austin, Texas. And I even have some great military guys that are still active duty that are going to be, let's just say, those kind of guys are never on duty or off duty that are volunteering to go cover some of this for us as well. So we're going to have a lot of eyes and ears on this as they attempt to launch a second communist revolution on the 100-year anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. And they admit that's their plan. We'll see if it's a dud and fizzles. Looks like it may be because there's such a huge awakening, but we shouldn't be too confident. So here's the new big Vegas bombshell. It's up on Infowars.com from IntelHub.com. I want to get Shepard Ambulus, investigative journalist, on. He is an amazing researcher. I really should just hire Shepard. He's been wanting to get on board for years. I just haven't had the budget. But we got to find a way to get this guy on board because he just keeps being at the center of so many big stories. Vegas bombshell video shows 17 ambulances pulling bodies out of Hooters. And we've blown up the video. It's shot in HD and bigger than Dallas, bigger than Vegas. They are pulling dozens and dozens of bodies out. And there's a time-lapse video. There's an unedited video that's like 45 minutes long up on Infowars.com. There's a condensed video that was put together by High Impact Flicks that does a great job. Of the YouTuber Benjamin Franks, who we're going to get on as a witness this week if we can, who put up the whole video. He just shot this out of his hotel window out of the MGM about 200 yards away. And they're not triaging and directing bodies over. You've got big exits hundreds of yards away from the venue. And you see police taking bodies out of there. It looks like the Hooters is shot up. And you've got not just Mandalay, but you've got other places on the Vegas Strip that are upwards of a mile away reporting shots fired and broken glass and bullets on the ground. And we've already covered all that. We've already shot in-depth reports on it. We had federal law enforcement tell us the morning after that, Alex, it's Antifa slash ISIS paraphernalia. He was traveling the Middle East with his girlfriend. All this is going on. There's a cover-up. There's more than one shooter. And then notice all that came out. They changed the timeline, and it turned out he shot earlier down the hall, like we said, and there were witnesses saying, you better get out of here, you're going to die in 45 minutes. We don't know exactly what happened, and neither do our law enforcement sources. It's so compartmentalized. But there were other shooters who were shot, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we've already broken all that down. And there were reports of people being shooting from the directions of Hooters. And there may have been somebody in there shooting people who got killed by cops. We know police at multiple locations, people saw them shoot masked men and broken glass and shell casings. And we've already had the witnesses on. We've reported it. I mean, the videos are legion. So all I know is we're being lied to. And we know the FBI got hundreds of cell phones. In fact, tried to confiscate them from everybody that exited. Hundreds and hundreds of cell phones, and are asking other people not to upload it. We've had witnesses that were going to organize groups to go public dropping dead. So I'm not saying the FBI itself's bad, but the guy running the Vegas operation, I've had high-level SEAL Team 6, high-level federal marshals, high-level FBI say that guy is a Clinton slash Obama operative, and now it's come out. So he used to be right under Phil Mudd at the FBI, who says they're going to kill the president. So some dangerous hombres, I'll tell you right now. And I've been told that the guy running Vegas, he is Mr. Scourge or whatever, Scour, is what's his name? I'm teleprompter free. Roos, yes. That he is just the worst there is. I don't have any knowledge of that. I've just been told that, and I see his pedigree. His pedigree is like directly from the loins of Lucifer, politically, from the Clintons and Obama and Mueller, who's running scared now, now caught as the bag man with uranium on the tarmac to the FSB, former KGB. I mean, no wonder they were running around like chickens with their heads cut off, saying, I'm a Russian, and Rand Paul's a Russian, and Tucker Carlson, if he didn't believe the fake stuff, you're a Russian. Remember Tucker Carlson? You're one. And Tucker's like, you're crazy. But that's what they do. So here's the report. A boil down, again, if it's radio, you've got to go watch it at Infowars.com/show. We're going to stream it live right now, or it's in the article, Vegas Bombshell. But let's go ahead and roll this report. It's powerful.
Every piece of information we get is just one more piece of the puzzle. And that brings me to a video that was just uploaded to YouTube by Benjamin Branks. His video is taken from the perspective of the MGM Grand Hotel across the street from Hooters. Benjamin is facing south with the concert event area in Mandalay Bay to his southwest. According to the video, at the 27-second mark, Benjamin says they're pulling bodies out of Hooters.
They're just pulling so many bodies out of that Hooters. I don't know if people are dead. I don't know if they're just injured.
At first, there were six ambulances that could be seen parked in front of Hooters. By the time you get to the 5-minute mark, you can count 16 ambulances parked in a line with more speeding by. Now, I've compressed some of the time of this video here to give you a partial time lapse of the activity below. This is the MGM Grand from around their perspective. Here's Hooters, and way over here is the event area with Mandalay Bay even further to the southwest. Now, I understand that police had certain areas blocked off, but why in the hell were they parked in front of Hooters this far away? And why were bodies being taken from inside Hooters? Why do we not see people flooding this parking lot right here, traveling north from the venue, or emergency personnel running south up this parking lot to the concert grounds to take care of the injured? Benjamin Franks deserves credit for filming this. It may not have been his intention.
By the way, pause. When I said a couple hundred yards, I meant just across the street from one point. Hooters is 0.8 miles or 1.1 kilometers away from Mandalay. I mean, folks, you've got ambulances going and you can you just blow it up. There's bodies being brought out on stretchers to like what looks like 15 or more ambulances. Let's just continue.
To take care of the injured. Benjamin Franks deserves credit for filming this. It may not have been his intention, but this is what independent journalism is all about. Let the camera roll and record history as it happens. No filter, no edits.
And again, the original report from High Impact Flicks is longer. And then, of course, there's Benjamin Franks' original footage. Everybody go see this for yourself. And hats off to both High Impact Flicks and Benjamin Franks, because that's real journalism. And there are thousands of these videos now starting to get uploaded. We are just inundated. The crew is, I'm not complaining, but we're doing 10 hours a day of live radio and TV now. And then we've got the major news sites and the research. And so I've got just two or three people that are sitting there trying to watch all this, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, it is totally clear. This was an ISIS terror attack working with leftist Antifa, connected into Kurdish groups, communist groups in the Middle East, as best we can tell. And they told the president, sir, it's a trigger to launch a major Islamic attack in the U.S., so please don't say it's Islamic. That's the trigger. So that's why Trump has allowed them to basically cover this up. And I think that's a miscalculation and a mistake. But there you go. It just validates everything Trump's actually been talking about. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, Roger Stone, after breaking the exclusive news that the president was going to declassify the JFK files next week. Well, we're going to give you the rest of the story and a lot more coming up after this next break. Then Jimmy Carter's come out in support of the president now against the Clintons and others. I mean, the worm is turning. We have the globalist on the run, but we have to be moral now. We have to deliver. We have to really stay the course. But populism is here. Globalism is in deep crap. Let's go to this special report. Bush and Obama tag team Trump.
They make a great team for globalism, don't they? Is it all hands on deck for the minions of the elites, puppets, George W. Bush and Barack Obama? Has populism and awareness become too large a threat to ignore? Obama, desperate to sway voters, attempted to sell pseudo-populism to the Democrats after bludgeoning the country for 8 years with orders from Bilderberg and the United Nations.
And so the question now... when our politics just seem so divided and so angry and so nasty, when everybody pushes in the same direction, that's when good things happen. And we live at a time when all sorts of forces conspire to turn good people off from politics. The way we get our news, the way money floods into our campaigns, the way our political districts are drawn so that candidates are rewarded for pandering to the extremes instead of trying to keep common ground. Instead of looking for ways to work together and get things done in a practical way, we've got folks who are deliberately...
He's literally trained in that fake folksy talk.
Make folks angry.
Now, well, I'm trained by resistance, and I'm going to break you.
Ideas. To get the base all riled up, because it provides a short-term tactical advantage. That if we're going to talk about our history, then we should do it in a way that heals. Not in a way that wounds. Not in a way that divides. We shouldn't use the most painful parts of our history just to score political points. We saw what happened in Charlottesville.
While George W. Bush blamed the will of the American people, labeling the newfound surge of economic prosperity and nationalism racist.
There's an aggressive challenge by Russia and China to the norms and rules of global order. They propose revisions that always seem to involve less respect for the rights of free nations and less freedom for the individual. These matters would be difficult under any circumstances. They are further complicated by a trend in Western countries away from global engagement and democratic confidence. Parts of Europe have developed an identity crisis. We have seen insolvency, economic stagnation, youth unemployment, anger about immigration, resurgent ethno-nationalism, and deep questions about the meaning and durability of the European Union. America is not immune from these trends. In recent decades, public confidence in our institutions has declined. Our governing class has often been paralyzed in the face of obvious and pressing needs. The American dream of upward mobility seems out of reach for some who feel left behind in a changing economy. Discontent deepened and sharpened partisan conflicts. Bigotry seems emboldened. Our politics seems more vulnerable to conspiracy theories and outright fabrication.
Crawl back into your New World Order holes. America knows who you really are. Whatever you're selling, we're not buying.
President Bush, to me, embarrassed himself. Speechwriter wrote a highfalutin speech. It's clear he didn't understand anything he was talking about. He equates the Industrial Revolution, the Agriculture Revolution, globalization. He has no earthly idea whether he's coming or going. Just like it was when he was president of the United States. There has not been a more destructive presidency than George Bush's. The rise of China started with the Clintons and Bush. When they had this great theory that you let them in to the World Trade Organization and give them most favored nations, that they're going to become a liberal democracy as they get bigger, okay? And they're going to become more free market capitalist. This is not a small mistake. This is a strategic mistake of incalculable problems.
John Bowne reporting for Infowars.com.
You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
So, we have hundreds of major newspapers, every major local TV station, the big four networks, constantly saying InfoWars, InfoWars.com is fake news. And they say that because they're the fake news. And every day and every week and every month and every year, we prove over and over again that you learn what's going to happen here days, weeks, months, years, or decades before. But most of the time, it's because I've read the congressional hearing on the JFK assassination that was bigger and more in-depth than the Warren Commission, and it said multiple shooters, probably the CIA. So I sound really smart 53 years later when it's all coming out. Or Roger Stone, who's been friends for 43, 44 years with President Trump, the former head of his two campaigns, talks to him, and the president sounded like he was going to release it, barring new info. That's what Roger said Friday. The media ran all these headlines saying, oh, look, Roger Stone and Alex Jones say this, but our sources say it's not going to be released. Yeah, Pompeo, I'm not against Pompeo, but that's who's pressuring him. Trump tweets on Saturday morning, no, barring new info, I'm going to release it. So they just can't stand the fact that we don't just have the sources because we're honorable, but we're pro-America and we're winning. We just saw the new Czech billionaire modeled after Trump, a populist, win by a huge margin. We just saw a patriot modeled after Trump win in Austria. We see it in Australia. We see Catalonia trying to break away in a Trump-type movement. We see Reykjavik, Iceland. We see Brazil moving in that direction. We see Brexit. We see it everywhere. People don't want to be under a big private corporate New World Order. Then you have Frederica Wilson coming out, lying about the president, getting caught lying. She wasn't on the phone call. He didn't say the things she said he said. Wearing her big fake cowboy hat, like Pocahontas over there. Elizabeth Warren saying she's an Indian. They're playing cowboys and Indians. She's falling on her face saying General Kelly is a racist because he called her stupid. I'll call you evil. You're like a clown, witch. So all of this is happening, but Antifa is planning the terror attacks on November 4th. Who knows what's coming? We're in the fight. We're starting to win, but it's like we lost the first six rounds. Now at round 10, we're winning and winning handily. There's two rounds left, baby, in heavyweight championship for the whole world's future. Roger Stone joins us. It isn't about a victory lap, but man, we're right. Man, we're on target. Man, we are just dead on, and they can't stand it, can they, Roger?
No, Alex, they really can't. First of all, let me say, I'm extraordinarily proud of our president, Donald Trump, because I know that the deep state and the intelligence agencies tried to pressure him not to release these documents. After 50 years, when you have Gerald Posner, the New York Times bestselling author and supporter of the Warren Commission in his book, team with Roger Stone, who wrote The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, and we both call for transparency, the president absolutely did the right thing. The danger now, Alex, is not allowing the deep state to redact and hold back so much material in these 3,100 files that they become useless, a kind of a backdoor nullification of the president's courageous decision using the phony claim of national security to cover their
dirty work. And that was my next question, is what do you think is going to be released? Because we know from the Congressional Commission and our deep research what's in the files. A lot of it's leaked. So we should, A, get to that next, but let's do B first. The big fear is Obama said we're going to release the 9/11 files, but they were all blacked out.
Yeah, look, we know from the very last data release of these materials that we have J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director, telling Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president, that the KGB has conducted their own independent investigation and determined that LBJ was the ringleader in John Kennedy's murder. We have documentation from the previous dump that French intelligence told Jacqueline Kennedy that they concluded Lyndon Johnson was culpable. We have Bobby Baker, right-hand man to Lyndon Johnson, saying to one of John Kennedy's top aides, John Kennedy will not live out his term, and he will die a violent death. This is at the 1961 inauguration. So there's no telling what the next tranche could be. I expect that we will find additional ties to Lyndon Johnson. And the CIA and their long-term ties to Oswald, which they've been pretty adept at covering up, may finally come to light.
To be clear, you talked to the president. He said, look, barring new info, I'm probably going to do it. You, on air said he's leaning towards, I think he'll do the right thing. He's supposed to come out next Friday. Do you think Pompeo or others can get to him and stop him? Or will they go the end run and say, okay, sir, we will, but again, completely black it out?
Look, there's no chance that he's going to reverse himself on this, and the public reaction to it, I think, has been quite positive. No, I think that they may seek the back door. In July, there was a more limited dump of material, Alex, and far too much of it was redacted and held back. I will be the first to go public if this is an attempt by the deep state to countermand what the president has ordered, hoping that he doesn't notice. The president's committed to transparency, and there's so many things that we'd like to know. I'd like to see if there's any further evidence of Ted Cruz's father's involvement with Oswald. We know that Judith Vary Baker, who is definitely connected to Oswald in the Warren Commission report, has said publicly that she knew Angel Cruz as part of Lee's crew in New Orleans. So there's a lot of things here that could be extraordinarily interested regarding this upcoming dump.
Sure, and let's stop right there. Obviously, since you were the head of the campaign and the media made stuff about you and the fake Russiagate thing has now collapsed, we know it was the Clintons doing it, so they tried to blame the people exposing it like yourself, Julian Assange and others, myself, just totally asinine. Anderson Cooper, they said, Anderson Cooper attacked people saying they must be, agents of Russia. They blame Tucker Carlson, said he may be one. Clearly, they're the ones involved is why they're scared. But now maybe in hindsight, you can get into some of the other conversations with the president. Because I remember during the campaign, we talked on air and privately saying, look, it looks like Ted Cruz's dad, was involved, was CIA. We know it looks like him. We know he was there. We think if we bring this out, Cruz will drop out. Trump did it after you and others talked to him. It came out, and then his dad dropped out 2 days later. I mean, you talk about running for the hills. I mean, you want to talk about that conversation now? I think it's newsworthy.
Well, look, I would say this. Donald Trump is his own man.
No, I know that, but you gave him the intel. Just say it.
That said, Alex, he loves nothing better than giving the needle to his opponents, the way he did to little Marco Rubio, the way he did to Lion Ted Cruz. So he saw the opportunity to needle Ted Cruz about a photograph that comes from the Warren Commission report that certainly looks like Angel Raphael Cruz.
And his father lived there, and his father had the connections, and our sources say it was him.
We have a witness who says it was here, Judith Vary Baker. So the president never misses an opportunity to needle his opponent.
And then he dropped out right after it came out.
Yeah, no, it was devastating. It was meant to drive Ted Cruz crazy. And if you saw the videos that day, he was drooling. He was arguing.
I'm just saying, you never take credit for the stuff that I'm even halfway involved in. I'm very proud of.
Well, look, I think it's all covered in my book, The Making of the President 2016, and the role of InfoWars, the role of the alt-right media. It's all there. I commend it to you.
Well, amazing. And again, alt-right, Hillary's term, that's fine. But, I mean, we really are the new right, aren't we?
Well, we are. The other thing I want to point out, because this is important historically, Alec, you were the one who covered the E. Howard Hunt deathbed confessions in which Hunt said that this was a CIA operation, that he was on the ground.
Hold on, let's start over there. One more segment with Roger Stone, then I get into General Kelly, who we've both been critical of, but now CNN saying he's shown his true colors. He thinks abortion's wrong. He loves God. He thinks women are sacrosanct. And he thinks putting down dead troops' families is wrong. Oh, he doesn't hate America. We thought you hated America, Kelly. What's your problem? So we'll talk about all that and more straight ahead. But Trump is hitting his stride, and we are all winning. You're going to get sick of winning.
Another world. Another time.
In the age of wonder. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Newswars.com is our news site. It's excellent, loads really quick, has a lot of original news and content there. And, of course, Infowars.com is the main site, PrisonPlanet.com, the backup. I just cut right in because this is so important with this final segment with Roger, and he's got to go. He's at a TV studio right now in Florida where he was just doing tapes for big national shows tomorrow morning. They say that those that are living in history don't know it. They're so busy fighting. They're so busy creating the new civilization. And I'm not tooting our horn, but you, the listeners that have supported us, we're just a microcosm of your power and this great crew and our sponsors and our local affiliates. I mean, we're changing the world. Globalism's in trouble. I always knew it's an authoritarian secret system. If we just stand up, it falls. We're promoting freedom. Marilyn Monroe and 57 Chevys. They're promoting North Korea and Venezuela communism. I mean, if we just stand up and say no, they're going to lose. It was all a con game. But I got to tell you, pinching myself here, that we got the E. Howard Hunt deathbed video confession. George Norrie, his great courage, he premiered the audio confession first. I got it the next day. All of this, Roger Stone getting a lot of the witnesses to talk first. I mean, we're here instrumental in lobbying the president who made the right decision with great courage to release it. It's happening, people. And you're seeing it in 2017. Roger, you got the floor. Get into E. Howard Hunt, the history, the real facts, the fact that this is solved, and whether they black it all out or not, this is just round one. People ask, why wouldn't they shred it all? Because they keep this stuff for blackmail. Explain that to folks.
Well, you're exactly right, Alex. Our friend George Norrie and you first exposed the deathbed confessions of E. Howard Hunt, the legendary CIA operative, Bay of Pigs veteran, later arrested as one of the Watergate burglars. Among the classified material that is now scheduled to be released are E. Howard Hunt's diaries. These diaries were seized by the agency, and Hunt had fought through his lawyers for their return unsuccessfully. His son, St. John Hunt, joins me tomorrow night on The War Room at 5 o'clock Eastern. He tells me these diaries are incendiary because they confirm everything that you first reported, that the CIA was on the ground in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963, that General Lansdale of the CIA was on the ground in Dealey Plaza, that it was a CIA operation, but that Vice President Lyndon Baines Johnson was, to use Howard Hunt's words, running the show.
That's right. And Hunt was a, quote, armchair quarterback, a bench warmer, basically, it was his words, in charge, but he was the second phase down the road of it failed. They were ready with bazookas, hand grenades, you name it. I mean, they were going to kill Kennedy.
Well, and look, the House Assassinations Committee in 1978 concluded that organized crime had a role in Kennedy's death. This is a repudiation of the Warren Commission that tells us that Jack Ruby had no known associations with organized crime. That's a knee slapper.
Well, we know going back to World War II, they used La Cosa Nostra and all those groups in Sicily and Italy to help with the pre-invasion.
Well, we also know that once the Central Intelligence Agency and their assets were thrown out of Cuba, we had to rely on the still mob-owned casinos in that country for intelligence on what Castro was doing. We also know the mob and the Central Intelligence Agency in a secret operation organized by Vice President Richard Nixon, green-lighted by Dwight Eisenhower, sought to assassinate Fidel Castro.
That was Operation Mongoose.
Absolutely. So we are really interested about these documents because the Hunt diaries, I think, will be explosive and newsworthy.
By the way, I'm ready to finance. I'm ready to get on a plane right now and fly out and meet Hunt. I did it years before to get the exclusive deathbed confession. And so I'm ready to get Hunt on air as soon as you're. Because now's the season. I told everybody, listen, everybody knows they killed Kennedy. They're tired of hearing about it. But when the documents come out, they care again. A huge victory lap for justice and history. Now is the time. I just hope that, again, these documents get released on Friday.
Well, and they haven't redacted them to death. Let's be clear about what we're expecting. There is the psychoanalysis, the psychological profile done by Oswald, on Oswald by the CIA. There is the classified testimony of both CIA and FBI officials to the Congress that was not released at that time. There is the transcript of the interrogation of Yuri Nisenko, who was thought by some to be Oswald's handler. There are documents pertaining
to... And again, that was the local white Russian, right?
Correct. There's documents pertaining to Oswald's mysterious appearance in Mexico City. We have Lyndon Baines Johnson on the phone with J. Edgar Hoover when Hoover says, Mr. President, the man in Mexico doesn't look like Oswald. Time for an answer as to what he meant by that. What it means, of course, is that the security camera footage seems to be missing.
Sure, we're almost out of time.
Evidence.
We'll put it back on screen. Then we have the J. Edgar Hoover memo saying George Herbert Walker Bush of the CIA in Texas on JFK, you know, I want to contact him. I mean, we have these documents that have come out. We're going to put that on screen for TV viewers. Let me ask you this. Why is everything coming out now? Why is populism winning everywhere? What is going on? I mean, it's spectacular. I didn't know we'd start kicking their butts this fast, Roger. This is amazing.
Well, because we have an anti-establishment president who knows his own mind, who's a gut populist, and who understands that the American people are tired of the lies of the two-party duopoly, the neocon globalists who have run this country into.
And they say he's mentally ill because he wants America to be first and isn't out to get us. I mean, I read this stuff from
Alex, what I don't like is the way the Washington Post and the New York Times referred to both you and I last week as conspiracy theorists. Let's address this. First of all, we have a memo written in 1964 by the Central Intelligence Agency instructing their media assets. Anytime anyone disagrees with the government's conclusions regarding the Kennedy assassination, call them a conspiracy theorist. It's an attempt to discredit us.
And they still do it today. They still follow the old order today.
But let's talk about some real conspiracy theories. Like the Russians helped Donald Trump get elected. There's a conspiracy theory. Or Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone nut communist who acted alone. There's a conspiracy
theory. Or there's WMDs in Iraq and you know, Niger uranium and anthrax. Let me ask you this in closing. We only have 1 minute left. Go ahead.
George W. Bush is our largest conspiracy theory president. He told us they had yellow cake uranium and that they had weapons of mass destruction. He lied us into war on the basis of a conspiracy theory. Very sad. Pathetic.
Exactly. And now it's just a bunch. I mean, you look at that photo of Lady Gaga and the old presidents in closing, 30 seconds. What do you make of, it's in the New York Post, Jimmy Carter came out against the Clintons, came out against Obama and said they're all full of it, that Americans want populism and that Trump was elected by Americans and Russia wasn't involved. Jimmy Carter just turned against them. What's going on?
Jimmy Carter, like Ronald Reagan, was an outsider. He was controlled by the deep state, but he was never one of them. And unlike the rest of them, he never profiteered personally. He never lined his own pockets. He never became a rich man, nor did his crony.
So he might have made mistakes, but he's not a bad guy.
He was honest. He never stole a dime, unlike the Bush.
So do you think he sees Trump in himself being a maverick?
He was a Christian. He was an honest man. He just had a misguided political philosophy. But he was not evil. He was controlled by.
And now he stands with Trump. It's a big choice. Thank you, Roger. Incredible. We'll be back with Key Intel. Thank you, Roger. This is powerful.
Live. From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
How many times must I tell you, babe?
One of the most important things we do here at InfoWars is break down for the viewers and listeners how the mass media manipulates, how they deceive. We take you behind the scenes and basically show you the hat trick that the magician is using so that we can basically alert the public so they're aware of these scams so the fake news media cannot continue to get away with it over and over and over again. And a great example of this was just last week, a wonderful, though sad, opportunity to expose what they're up to. We saw President Trump making phone calls to the wives and to the widows and family members of soldiers and others that had recently died in the armed services of this country and service to this nation. And a Congresswoman, Frederica Wilson, reportedly listened in to one of the phone calls of one of her constituents and then misrepresented what Trump had done, so that he was very cavalier, that he was very flippant. Well, he asked for it, so this is what he got. Then, of course, Gold Star families released phone calls that were similar to what this phone call had been like. It was actually very, very gracious the way he said it. And it was General Kelly, who lost his own son a few years ago in the Marines, who basically told the president how best he thought it would be for the president to basically do it. But he went further and said, Mr. President, most presidents don't actually call people, and this is really tough for you to do, and I recommend you don't do it. But Trump went ahead and did it. So this is bigger than Trump. This is about the anatomy of deception. Because now this congresswoman has come out and said that she's a rock star now that this happened, and is really, really proud of all the fawning attention that fake news media like MSNBC and CNN and ABC have given her. A total disconnect. She doesn't get most Americans hate mainstream media. She doesn't get that her butt's hanging out there in front of the world and people see right through her, and that she took this death of this soldier and then used it to project hatred upon the president. Now the rest of the story, I'm going to play part of the press conference that Kelly gave, is that in their attempt to demonize and lie, they've now expanded it on to General Kelly and said, oh my gosh, you know, he is this terrible person. He's shown his true colors, is what CNN said. He's shown us he's really a Make America Great Again guy. And with horror in these articles and then these reports, they talk about what a terrible person he is because he believes we shouldn't use the deaths of soldiers to make political points, or he believes that religion should be honored, or that women should be honored, or that children should be honored, or, you know, the institution of manhood, you name it, that humanity should be honored, that the right to life should be honored. He talked about honoring humanity, having respect for ourselves, and it's CNN and others that showed us their true colors when they flipped out and acted like the wholesome things that General Kelly said were some type of horrible pornography or something obscene, something obscene that was being said and done. It's really the Washington Post and CNN and mainstream corporate dinosaur media that are showing us their true colors when they flip out over someone saying, let's not be political in America when it comes to the deaths of soldiers. Let's not insert ourselves between grieving families and the president. Let's have something that's still sacrosanct and honored in this country. And as if not to be undone after all of her rock star bandwagon, you know, really vampire-like behavior, the psychic vampire, Congresswoman Frederica Wilson, comes back again now this weekend and says that the general was racist when he said that the loudest guns tend to be empty barrels. That's just saying that she's a loudmouth. That's just saying she jumps on bandwagons and that she's an idiot. But again, because she can't intellectually defeat what he said and what he's done, and because she's been caught lying about the tenor of what President Trump really does in these heartfelt phone calls, she's got to go back to the only card that the liberal, democratic, globalist party has, and that's race baiting. And to see folks like this lady falling on her face is just absolutely disgusting. You know, there's a congressman up in Georgia who happens to be black who believes that islands float. And when the media pointed out that islands don't float, they're mountaintops sticking out of the water, some folks said, well, you're just racist. No, Nancy Pelosi's just as senile and mentally ill as these folks as well, and she's white. And there's some other members of Congress that are also out of their minds. We've just got to be asking ourselves, how have we gotten a collection of weirdos like this in charge of our country? So I'm going to air the first 10 minutes or so of General Kelly's breakdown. And then for yourself, go to InfoWars.com, Washington Post, you name it, and actually see similar phone calls that Gold Star families have taped, where you see how gracious and loving the president is when he's saying, hey, he was with who he wanted to be with. He was a leader. He gave his life for us. What a hero. Versus, he asked for it, toots, so shut your mouth. That's how the fake news media distorts things. And in the new media system where everybody's got a camera and everybody can expose what they're doing, they are extincting themselves. It's not InfoWars destroying mainstream media. They're doing it to themselves.
Most Americans don't know what happens when we lose one of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, or Coast Guardsmen in combat. So let me tell you what happens. Their buddies wrap them up in whatever passes as a shroud, puts them on a helicopter as a routine, and sends them home. Their first stop along the way is when they're packed in ice, typically at the airhead, and then they're flown to usually Europe, where they're then packed in ice again and flown to Dover Air Force Base, where Dover takes care of the remains, embalms them, meticulously dresses them in their uniform with the medals that they've earned, the emblems of their service, and then puts them on another airplane linked up with a casualty officer escort that takes them home. A very, very good movie to watch if you haven't ever seen it is Taking Chance, where this is done in a movie HBO setting. Chance Phelps was killed under my command right next to me. And it's worth seeing that if you've never seen it. So that's the process. While that's happening, a casualty officer typically goes to the home very early in the morning and waits for the first lights to come on. And then he knocks on the door. Typically the mom and dad will answer, wife. And if there is a wife, this is happening in two different places. If the parents are divorced, three different places. And the casualty officer proceeds to break the heart of a family member and stays with that family until, for a long, long time, even after the internment. So that's what happens. Who are these young men and women? They are the best 1% this country produces. Most of you, as Americans, don't know them. Many of you don't know anyone who knows any one of them. But they are the very best this country produces. And they volunteer to protect our country when there's nothing in our country anymore that seems to suggest that selfless service to the nation is not only appropriate, but required. But that's all right. Who writes letters to the families? Typically, the company commander, in my case, is a Marine, the company commander, battalion commander, regimental commander, division commander, Secretary of Defense, typically the service chief, commandant of the Marine Corps, and the president typically writes a letter. Typically, the only phone calls the family receives are the most important phone calls they can imagine, and that is from their buddies. In my case, hours after my son was killed, his friends were calling us from Afghanistan, telling us what a great guy he was. Those are the only phone calls that really matter. And yeah, the letters count to a degree, but there's not much that really can take the edge off what a family member is going through. So some presidents have elected to call. All presidents, I believe, have elected to send letters. If you elect to call a family like this, it is about the most difficult thing you could imagine.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
There's no perfect way to make that phone call. When I took this job and talked to President Trump about how to do it, my first recommendation was he not do it. Because it's not the phone call that parents, family members are looking forward to. It's a nice to do, in my opinion, in any event. He asked me about previous presidents, and I said, I can tell you that President Obama, who was my commander-in-chief when I was on active duty, did not call my family. That was not a criticism. That was just to simply say, I don't believe President Obama called. That's not a negative thing. I don't believe President Bush called in all cases. I don't believe any president, particularly when the casualty rates are very, very high, that presidents call. But I believe they're all right. So when I gave that explanation to our president 3 days ago, he elected to make phone calls in the case of the four young men who he lost in Niger at the earlier part of this month. But then he said, you know, how do you make these calls? If you're not in the family, if you've never worn the uniform, if you've never been in combat, you can't even imagine how to make that call. But I think he very bravely does make those calls. The call in question that he made yesterday, or day before yesterday now, were to four family members, the four fallen. And remember, there's an next of kin designated by the individual. If he's married, that's typically the spouse. If he's not married, that's typically the parents, unless the parents are divorced. And then he selects one of them. If he didn't get along with his parents, he'll select a sibling. But the point is, the phone call is made to the next of kin only if the next of kin agrees to take the phone call. Sometimes they don't. So a pre-call is made. President of the United States or the Commandant of the Marine Corps or someone would like to call. Will you accept the call? And typically they all accept the call. So he called four people the other day and expressed his condolences in the best way that he could. And he said to me, what do I say? I said to him, sir, there's nothing you can do to lighten the burden on these families. But let me tell you what I tell them. And let me tell you what my best friend, Joe Dunford, told me, because he was my casualty officer. He said, Kel, he was doing exactly what he wanted to do when he was killed. He knew what he was getting into by joining that 1%. He knew what the possibilities were because we're at war. And when he died, in the four cases we're talking about, Niger, my son's case in Afghanistan, when he died, he was surrounded by the best men on this earth, his friends. That's what the president tried to say to to four families the other day. I was stunned when I came to work yesterday morning and brokenhearted at what I saw a member of Congress doing. A member of Congress who listened in on a phone call from the President of the United States to a young wife, and in his way tried to express that opinion. He's a brave man, a fallen hero. He knew what he was getting himself into because he enlisted. There's no reason to enlist. He enlisted. And he was where he wanted to be, exactly where he wanted to be, with exactly the people he wanted to be with when his life was taken. That was the message. That was the message that was transmitted. It stuns me that a member of Congress would have listened in on that conversation. Absolutely stuns me. And I thought, at least that was sacred. You know, when I was a kid growing up, a lot of things were sacred in our country. Women were sacred and looked upon with great honor. That's obviously not the case anymore, as we see from recent cases. Life, the dignity of life, was sacred. That's gone. Religion, that seems to be gone as well. Gold Star families, I think that left in the convention over the summer. But I just thought, the selfless devotion that brings a man or woman to die on the battlefield, I just thought that that might be sacred. And when I listened to this woman and what she was saying and what she was doing on TV, the only thing I could do to collect my thoughts was to go and walk among the finest men and women on this earth. And you can always find them because they're in Arlington National Cemetery. Went over there for an hour and a half. Walked among the stones, some of whom I put there, because they were doing what I told them to do when they were killed. I'll end with this. In October, April rather, of 2015, I was still on active duty, and I went to the dedication of the new FBI field office in Miami. And it was dedicated to two men who were killed in a firefight in Miami against drug traffickers in 1986, a guy by the name of Grogan in Duke. Grogan almost retired, 53 years old. Duke, I think, less than a year on the job. Anyways, they got in a gunfight, and they were killed. Three other FBI agents were there, were wounded, now retired. So we go down, Jim Comey, get an absolutely brilliant memorial speech to those fallen men and to all of the men and women of the FBI. Serve our country so well, and law enforcement so well. There were family members there. Some of the children that were there were only 3 or 4 years old when their dads were killed on that street in Miami-Dade. Three of the men that survived the fight were there and gave a rendition of how brave those men were and how they gave their lives. And a congresswoman stood up, and in the long tradition of empty barrels making the most noise, stood up there and all of that, and talked about how she was instrumental in getting the funding for that building, and how she took care of her constituents because she got the money, and she just called up President Obama, and on that phone call, he gave the money, the $20 million to build the building. She sat down. And we were stunned. Stunned that she'd done it. Even for someone that is that empty a barrel, we were stunned. But you know, none of us went to the press and criticized. None of us stood up and were appalled. We just said, okay, fine. So I still hope, as you write your stories, and I appeal to America, that let's not let this maybe last thing that's held sacred in our society, a young man, young woman going out and giving his or her life for our country. Let's try to somehow keep that sacred. But it eroded a great deal yesterday by the selfish behavior of a member of Congress.
As we end this special broadcast today, I personally am just sitting back and analyzing how illustrative all of this is to exactly where our civilization and where our species is today on this planet. This is one of those stories that just opens up the windows of understanding into the mindset of ourselves, but also the globalist. This lady doesn't care about using dead service members to advance her agenda. She doesn't care about lying. And she loves being a, quote, rock star in the failed media system. So it illustrates how the crumbling power structure is still betting on CNN and MSNBC. And that's why they're losing, because they're so delusional, they're so senile, they're so disconnected. And it also illustrates to us how much disdain they have for the American people and what they really think about us. Because I recently saw Bill Maher out there bitching and complaining and getting in his viewers' faces for the fact that they don't listen to him or mainstream media, but that people online actually collect their own news and their own information and come to their own decisions. It's basically OCD. It's stagnant power structure that can't stop doing things in the same way over and over again and can't see how ridiculous they look in front of everybody else. That's why the whole power structure is coming down. Please join me tomorrow with a syndicated live transmission, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central, for InfoWars Live at InfoWars.com. And don't forget, David Knight's now kicked off his own syndicated radio/TV transmission, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays, right before I go live with The Real News with David Knight. And then, of course, Owen Schroyer and The War Room, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time every day at InfoWars.com/show. And as always, if you're watching this transmission, you're the hope of this country and the world. You're the reason we're here, and I salute and thank you all.
You mean to tell me that I have become so important that the White House is following me and my words? This is amazing. It's amazing. That is absolutely phenomenal. I have to tell my kids that I'm a rock star now. I'm a rock star now. I'm a rock star now. I'm a rock star now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.